Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to speak on the topic of who is on the Lord's side. That question comes from Exodus chapter 32. When Moses encountered the people of Israel after they had made the golden calf and begun to worship it. Exodus chapter 32, Moses says in verse 26, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Well, that's tough. Because when Levi came to talk with, or not to talk with, but to cross the line with Moses, that's what you kind of imagine, you know, that typical line in the sand. When they came across the line, you weren't really sure at that time what Moses was planning. He just stood in the gate of the camp after he saw what was going on. And he said, "Who's on the Lord's side coming to me?" And the Levites came across to him. Afterwards, then he gave them the instruction, "Put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And they did it, and 3,000 men died that day. Choosing to be on the Lord's side is going to put you at odds with some people. It could put you at odds with your family, with your friends, and with your neighbors. That's what happened here in verse 26. Slay every man his brother, that's your family. Slay every man his companion, that's your friends. Slay everybody, your neighbor, that's your neighbors. He can put you at odds with those people when they choose to go against the Lord. Listen, choosing to be on the Lord's side is going to put you at odds with some other things too. And my question to you is, are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? Well, if you are on the Lord's side, then here's some things that you can be sure about. You are with him against idolatry. That's what's going on in Exodus chapter 32. The golden calf was made to keep the people together. You see, when Exodus chapter 32 opens, the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. They gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." So this idol then became a focal point of worship to keep those people together before they started raising up various leaders and some heading back to Egypt and, you know, all that stuff that would have happened. They were revolting without Moses there. So the idol kept the crowd happy. Do you realize that many churches today are ministering based upon what pleases the people rather than what pleases the Lord? I mean, look at the similarities about what's going on in the modern churches today, okay? And what went on back in Exodus chapter 32 when they made the golden calf. They had dancing, all right? And they've got that going on in the churches now. They had unholy music. And they've got that going on in the churches now. And they had unholy singing. And they've got that going on in the churches now. And eventually you're going to see nakedness. You know why? Because Exodus chapter 32 verse 25 said, when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. You already see that with the scant clothing. It's just a matter of time. As a matter of fact, it goes on, but it doesn't go on in public display. I'm talking about the nakedness. Now, I can't remember now how many decades ago it was. At least three decades, probably four decades ago, when some modern type charismatic churches were springing up in the northwest. A fellow was running a crew of carpenters and starting a church at the same time, and he'd invite these guys to come to church with him. And they wouldn't come. One day, Friday rolled around, and they were all wanting to get off work early, and they asked him why. He said, well, we're getting ready to go to church. And at first, he said, well, that's a good thing. Where are you going? And they said they were going to go to that modern church. He said, what are you going to do that for? He said, you don't know? You don't know why we're going there? He said, no, we don't know why you're going there. Why are you going there? He said, the reason we're going there is that word is out that the women there are easy. And we'd rather go there to find one than we would to go to a bar, because at least we kind of think they may be a little bit cleaner. Now, you say that didn't happen. Are you kidding me? It really did. It really did. In other words, it's the pickup place in town back in those days. And I wonder if that's not the same thing that's going on now. You see, all this other stuff went on with the introduction of idolatry, including the nakedness. Why wouldn't it be going on now? Now, you want to see something? Look where these old Levites ended up years down the road. They crossed the line, came over there with Moses, and they stood against their family and their friends and their companions, their neighbors. They even killed some of them. But look what happened by the time you get to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 44, look at verse 10. The Levites that are gone away far from me. What? They're the ones that came across the line. The Levites that are gone far away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Verse 12, because they ministered unto them before their idols. So their ministry was catering to the desires of the people, not to the Lord, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, because they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. They started out on the Lord's side, and they ended up on the devil's side. I want to ask you something. Where do you stand today? Are you sure you're on the Lord's side? When you are, you're with him against idolatry. Let's go on to another one. If you're on the Lord's side, then you are with him against the world. Look at James 4:4. James chapter 4, verse 4. In James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says very plainly, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, if you're on the Lord's side, then you are with him against the world. A stand with God is a stand against the world. Paul was very certain about this. When he preached to the Galatians and he was finishing up his letter, he said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let me tell you something. A stand with the world is a stand against God. There is absolutely no middle ground in this battle. Think about it. Soldiers who stand in the middle of this raging war get shot. If you've got, thinking of trench warfare or the old infantry lines, if you've got a line of infantry on one side and a line of infantry on the other side, and they're facing each other in a volley of shots, anybody standing in the middle is going to get killed because you're getting shot at by both sides. You know what the Lord said? He said, either be cold or be hot. He told that church of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? They were lukewarm. He spews the lukewarm ones out of his mouth. I was talking to a missionary the other day, and he said that since his last trip to the United States 8 years ago, he's seen a dramatic move toward humanism in the churches. He said the messages are getting soft and easy. Nobody can take hard preaching anymore. They're soft and easy on the people because the pastors are afraid of offending them. You know where that comes from? That comes from worldliness. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you know what's happened? People have drifted away from the Word of God, and they have drifted to the world instead. And when you do that, you are no longer standing on the Lord's side. You may be telling yourself that you are, but you're not in fact. There's very little difference between the word and the word world. There's an L in there. And that's all the difference. You know what the difference is between somebody who lives in the world and doesn't get in the Word? If they stay with the world and they don't get saved, the difference is L. Word and world, the difference is L. They wind up in L. You got it? Look at Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote his second epistle to Timothy, and commending some fellows at the end, explaining where others were, and he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me. Now, you got to remember, Demas was in Colossians chapter 4, and verse 14, Demas was commended. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. That things were going well with Demas, but things didn't end up well with Demas. The Bible says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers in Philemon 24. But 2 Timothy 4:10 says, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Well, Thessalonica housed the worst enemies that Paul had. What's he doing running back over there? You know what happened? He didn't have a clear line. He was a fellow laborer, and he greeted the folks, but there wasn't a clear line for him. And he forgot to remain on the Lord's side and slipped and came across to the world, and it ruined him in the ministry. Now listen, if you are on the Lord's side, really, you are with him against idolatry. This modern church jangle, rock and roll concert type thing, that's not of God. And if you're in there thinking you're standing with the Lord, you're not. You're just like those Jews out there in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 32. And let me tell you something else. If you think you're on the Lord's side, but you're standing in the world with the world, you're against him. And if you truly are with him, then you are with him against the world. Listen, this world system has a God, and its God is the devil, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot stand with the devil and stand with God. You're kidding yourself. Listen, if you are on the Lord's side, then you are with him against your flesh. That's right. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. And 17. Galatians 5:16 said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Galatians 5:16 and 17 show you the absolute line of demarcation between the Lord's Spirit on the one hand and your flesh on the other. And you know something? You need to keep that line as clear as possible, because your flesh will trick you into sliding gradually across that line. It's like rubbing out the old chalk lines on a baseball field. Remember that? They'd take that old chalk and that line, I guess it is, and they'd put it out there on that field, and they'd mark from home plate to first base like that. But that mark was laid down over dirt. And by walking on it and sliding on it, all that line gets blurred. That line gets rubbed out. Well, it's given into your flesh will do the same thing, and then you can't see clearly. Listen, when you take a hard, firm stand with God, it isn't so hard for you to develop some really strong and clear convictions about things in your life. Listen, when you stand with God, it's not hard for you to say, though your flesh wants to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and not drag out of bed on Sunday, it's not hard to say, listen, I'm with God, and I'm going to stand with God's people on Sunday morning, and I'm going to stand again with them on Sunday evening, and I'm going to stand again with them on Wednesday evening. And you just set up and make a conviction about that thing. Why? Because you're standing with God against your flesh. And you have strong convictions against sin in your life. We talked a lot about that recently. Listen, the best decisions you make are the ones that are based on a clear stand with God against your flesh. Your flesh says, eat that. And the body, and the Bible says, keep your flesh, your body in subjection. Then you say, you don't apologize to your flesh. You just say, listen, I'm not going that way. I've got to stand against my flesh, and I'm not going to let my flesh enjoy its appetites and its lusts when I'm standing with God. If I'm going to give in to the lust and appetites of my flesh, then I'm not standing with God. Listen, when you make a hard conviction based on your stand with God, you don't have to explain why to anybody. That's just the way it is. Why do you do that? That's just the way it is. And I'll tell you, the only place to take this kind of stand is on the cross with Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Will you take your stand on the cross with Christ? Then you're going to take a firm stand against your flesh. And people who stand with the Lord stand against their flesh. Listen, if you're on the Lord's side, not only are you standing against idolatry and the world and your flesh, you know what? You're going to stand against anyone who is against God. Listen, Paul had no problem identifying the Lord's enemies. And he even named some of them. I've got passages marked here in 1 Timothy chapter 1:20, 2 Timothy chapter 2:17, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4:14, and he identifies men like a fellow named Alexander the coppersmith, and he identifies Jannes and Jambres, who stood against Moses, and he identifies a guy named Hymenaeus in 2 Timothy 2:17. who was with Alexander. And he identifies in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, Hymenaeus again. Okay? And over there is Alexander. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, is another fellow named Philetus. He just said, here they are. He had no problem identifying the Lord's enemies at all. Listen, this is where it gets tough. If your parents are against him, then you're against your parents if you are with him. I mean, it's not that you don't love your parents, and it's not that you should rebel against your parents. But if your parents are blasting God, cursing God, blaspheming God, and you're saved, let me tell you something, then you're just going to have to take your stand with God. We talked with a young lady the other day after the service who was getting assurance of her salvation, was baptized that evening, and you know what she said? She said, in tears, how she cried out before her father, and she said, Dad, she said, I love you, and I don't want you to go to hell, but I'm telling you right now, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have any fear of death. And I'm pleading with you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're going to wind up in hell, but I want you to know something. After I'm dead, I'm not going to care, because I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven, in peace, in joy, and you're going to be in hell. And it's your own doing. Now, let me tell you something. You know what that is? That is a person who has taken a stand with the Lord on the Lord's side to be able to talk that clearly to her father in desperation, hoping that he would get saved. Listen, you cannot let your parents persuade you in any way to give up your stand with Christ. I tried that when I was 19 years old. I got scared when I witnessed to my parents. And I retreated. And you can't do that. Eventually, fortunately, I got my courage back about me and a witness and got in the ministry. And the rest is history now. We've been able to talk freely with them about the Lord. Listen, if your girlfriend or your boyfriend is not going to stand with God, then you've got to stand against him or her. If your children are against him, or your friends are against him, or your neighbors are against him, then by virtue of the fact that you have chosen to stand with him, you have also chosen to stand against them. Eli, you remember him? In 1 Samuel? You know what he is? He is a Levite. Remember, these are the guys that crossed the line with Moses. I say crossed the line. They came over to Moses' side. Eli was a Levite. And you know what happened? His sons were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And you know what? He honored them above God. You know what happened? It was horrible. He lost his stand with God for the sake of his children. You can't do that. Listen, if you are really on the Lord's side, then you are with him against modern perversions. That's right. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And there are many corruptions of the word of God today. If you read in Jeremiah chapter 36, there's a fellow in there named Jehudi. And Jeremiah dictated the words of God to Baruch, and Baruch wrote them down, and Jehudi got a copy of those things and cut them up with a knife. He cut the leaves out of the scroll or out of the roll and then threw them in the fire and burned them. No regard for the words of God. And he reminds me of these fellows that translate these modern perversions. They are unafraid to take anything and everything out of the Bible that doesn't suit them. They don't believe his words. They're just like the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verses 43 to 45, the Lord said, you're of your father, the devil. Why? Because you don't believe what I'm saying. You don't believe my words. Luke chapter 24, he had to chasten his own and rebuke his own disciples. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Listen, you... They don't believe his words. They don't believe the authority of his words. The Lord said if you don't believe me, you have one that judges you. The words that I have spoken, they shall judge you in the last day. You are supposed to be under the authority of the words of God. And when you are the judge over the words of God to translate them any way you want to, cut out what you don't like, you don't believe in the authority of the words of God. You don't even believe in the preservation of his words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever, Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says. Or you don't believe in the inspiration of his words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm going to tell you something. When you get into a situation like that where you can pick up a modern perversion and say, well, I'll go along with this. Well, this is just as good as any. No, it's been put together by people who have corrupted the words of God. And so you've lost your authority, you've lost your belief, you've lost the preservation, you've lost the inspiration of the words of God. And God states from the scripture that all these things we just mentioned are true. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You can't be on the Lord's side if you don't believe his words and these truths about his words. You're kidding yourself if you think you're on his side. I mean, you may be partly, you may be right there close to the line and a little bit more toward the Lord than you are toward the other side, but you're not taking a firm stand with him. Listen, your stand is so close to the line, you're going to come back across to the other side. You aren't fooling the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're on the Lord's side? Are you absolutely sure? I mean, is the Lord sure that you're on the Lord's side? That's a better question. Is he sure you're really standing with him? To what extent can these folks who are against the Lord, these idolatrous churches, the world, the flesh, these that are against the Lord, those that love these modern perversions, to what extent can these folks who are against the Lord tell that you are with him and not with them? You say, well, I'm not sure they can tell. Well, then perhaps it's time that you take a stronger stand. Maybe it's time you redouble your efforts to go back across that line or get away from the close middle of that line, go right back over there with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to take a stand with you. In these last days where everything is slipping and sliding away, I don't want there to be any misunderstanding between me and you. I am on your side, and I want everybody else to know it. I don't want there to be any mistake about it. And I pray for you when you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.